Hey guys, this is Rory Zambard, and you are listening to the Brute Strength Podcast.
What's up guys, this is Mike Cashew. This week I interviewed Rory Zambard in Seattle, and we talked about some pretty interesting stuff. We talked about kind of the evolution of CrossFit. She's been in CrossFit for over 10 years, so we talk about how the changes she's seen and what she's experienced kind of growing up in the community. We talk about obviously training for and competing at the games, and then we go into dealing with some serious back issues and kind of how she dealt with that emotionally. I think it's a very common thing in our community that isn't really talked about a lot. So I think some of you will be able to get some good stuff from that. And then we talk about her transition from being an elite level competitor and going back to using CrossFit as just training for a lifestyle. So lots of good stuff. Hope you enjoy the show. What's up guys, this is Mike Cashew. This is the Brute Strength Podcast. I'm here in Seattle with Rory Zambard. Thanks for having me, Rory.
Hi, happy to be here.
Appreciate it. We just did a little class workout. We did 5 rounds of, what did we do? It was 7 bear complexes, and Rory made me do all of them unbroken, and it was disgusting.
It was pretty terrible.
So you do 7 bear complexes, rest 3 minutes, 5 times. Try it out.
You should definitely give it a shot.
Okay. Let's see. So you, when did you start doing CrossFit, Rory?
2005.
10 years. So you did a lot of growing up in CrossFit, would you say?
I did, yeah. I was started my freshman year of high school, and it was most of my adolescence, like mm-hmm. team sports and growing up in the gym.
How have you seen CrossFit evolve? Not necessarily the sport, just the community in general.
Oh, it's huge compared to what it mm-hmm. used to be. You're like, I started in 2005 at Rainier CrossFit. It's like an hour south of Seattle with my mom. And we would go to the gym, and we would be the only 2 people in the evening the entire day. Just Curtis, mm-hmm. the guy who owns the gym, Curtis and Lori Bowler, and my mom and I. And it was like that for probably a good 6 months to a year until slowly it started to grow. And then we'd have like 3 people or 5 people in the evening. And that's just our gym. And until it seemed pretty small like that, like really intimate, mm-hmm. the community, really grassroots until like 2009. Mm-hmm. I think it started to explode.
That's about when I started.
Yeah, it started to get way bigger and pick up steam. More people knew about it, and there was less "what is CrossFit" questions, mm-hmm. and a lot more of "oh, hey, I've heard about that." And I think the community is it's exponentially larger than it has been, but the heart is still the same. And I think that's mm-hmm. one of the cool things about it is it's still the same mentality about work hard, show up, work hard, and pick each other up, mm-hmm. and accountability, perseverance, and it builds character, and I think mm-hmm. that heart hasn't changed at all.
When we were getting coffee, you talked a little bit about how it has helped mold you, stuff like that. So how exactly has it built your character?
Oh, that's a big question. CrossFit, it's been an integral part of my life for almost longer than it hasn't mm-hmm. at this point, which is crazy to think mm-hmm. about. But like, I'm 24 years old and been CrossFitting for 11 years. And I think that there's something about this program in particular that hard work is the expectation and perseverance is the expectation. It's not an anomaly like it is in almost every other area mm-hmm. of life.
It's not the exception.
It's not the exception. It's the rule. And all you have to do when you come to the gym is show up and be willing to work hard. Mm-hmm. And I think that mentality has just become the norm in the rest of my life. That mm-hmm. that is the only thing that was ever asked of me when I walked into the gym from 14 on. You know, mm-hmm. as a kid, you're like a gangly, uncomfortable, awkward freshman girl walks into the gym, and the only thing that I ever was responsible for was to just try.
Right.
And I think you learn that failure is okay, and that failure makes you great. Mm-hmm. And you learn to fail gracefully. And that teaches you perseverance and a necessary quality that you can take. It's almost like fearlessness mm-hmm. that spreads out to the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. That if you just show up and you work hard, you're unafraid to fail, you can do anything.
Right. I like to think of it as not necessarily that the fear goes away, but it becomes like a habit to do things even yeah. though you're afraid.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
I can totally relate to that.
Absolutely.
So you've been a level one trainer for how long?
3.5 years.
And you travel about 52 weekends a year at least.
Yeah, it feels like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like that.
So where do you see yourself going in this whole system? Where do you see the CrossFit community going? Where, and if you could have it your way, what is your role in that whole process?
Oh, boy.
Like, what's the dream?
With the community at large? Like, the mm-hmm. what, yeah, with the level one?
Well, where do you, I don't know. Where yeah. do you see yourself fitting in this whole fitness community?
Well, I'm going to work for CrossFit HQ as long as they'll have mm-hmm, me, mm-hmm. you know, like that. I don't want that to change at all. I love the people that I work with, and I love the opportunity to be able to share the message from the heart mm-hmm. of CrossFit, you know, from the top down. That is an awesome responsibility that I'm proud to have and thankful for. So I don't want to give that up
right.
at all. Like, I'm going to stick with that as long as they'll have me. But mm-hmm. outside of the level one seminar staff, I think something that my heart is drawn to that I haven't quite put my finger on, I haven't nailed it down yet, but is definitely tailoring this awesome program to And the gifts that it's given me, the lessons that it's taught me in my life, how can I give that back to people who haven't discovered it yet? Whether that be, you know, like at-risk youth or women or, you know, a specific group of people that need in a big way, like mm-hmm. need what this program can offer them. Not just fitness, but the community and those traits that I have taken away from it. How can I take this program and tailor it to them? Mm-hmm. Might be kids first, I think.
Like, love it.
High school kids, yeah.
Right. Are you doing any of that kind of stuff right now?
No, unfortunately not. I'm just meditating on it, praying about it, and trying to see what direction that heads. Mm-hmm. I was really inspired recently by the program CrossFit Poapu runs, Aaron Hoff and his wife in Kauai. Mm-hmm. They run a kids program that helps the kids on the island stay away from drugs and alcohol, and it gives them an outlet and a place to belong and a mm-hmm. place to feel safe. And that was a really moving experience for me to see the inside of that program. And I think I'd like to do something like that in the Northwest.
I love it. Yeah. I love that. Okay. Let's shift gears real quick. So I want to talk about your like training for and going to the CrossFit Games mm-hmm. briefly.
Yeah.
So you went to the games twice as an individual, right?
Qualified twice, yeah.
Qualified twice. Okay, once, okay, yeah. Gotcha. And the 1 year you went, mm-hmm. you were 14th in the world.
Yeah.
Okay. So out of tens or hundreds of thousands of women that competed to go to the CrossFit Games, mm-hmm. what do you think you did differently over the long term and the short term that led to you being the 14th fittest woman in the world?
Yeah, well, I think long term, I've just been CrossFitting for a really long time. Mm-hmm. That helps. I had a lot of years under my belt mm-hmm. working up to it. But other than time, I think something that every person who qualifies for the games shares is a willingness to hurt. It's a really, like, a deep willingness to work really hard and go to that place you don't want to go mm-hmm. every day. And even when you don't want to, you got to go anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a willingness to suffer that everybody at the games shares. And I definitely did that. I showed up at the gym and I worked hard every day. Mm-hmm. And I worked hard because I loved it.
Right.
And that love, I think, is something that people forget. It wasn't a job yet. Mm-hmm. It was just play and fun. And,
right.
And it was easy to get to that place in a workout and,
yeah.
and keep pushing through it because I just enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. So how did your training evolve? Like, you started when you were 15, and how did it evolve into your, like, 22, 23 going to the CrossFit Games? Was it always just show up to the gym and do one workout a day? Like, what kind of stuff were you doing?
That's a great question. You know, when I started, it was one workout a day, and you just come to class and you do whatever's written on the board, and you chase down the people that, you know, you're looking at and try and get the red time, you know, get the RX by your name. And I did that all the way through high school, got to college, did exactly the same thing, decided not to play softball in college. And that's kind of when gears shifted for me. And I realized, like, I really enjoyed doing CrossFit, started coaching CrossFit, and my training, as far as that goes, didn't change. I didn't do any more. It was one workout a day, show up, do what's written on the board, chase your friends down and have fun. And that actually carried me through the games in 2013. When I qualified and competed, I did work one workout a day. And I mean, like, when I say one workout a day, that means something different to people these days, like one session a day. But when I say one workout, I mean like 5x3 power clean, go home.
Really?
Yeah. And I think you hear it from the best, like Spiel talks about it all the time. I know that there's quotes that float around, like, be impressed by intensity, not volume. And intensity is what gets you really fit. And and that willingness to suffer is what gets you really fit. And I think that it's proven by people who do one workout a day and are really successful at the games. And that's what I did through 2013, was just one thing.
Wow.
Work hard, go home.
Wow, that's very different than what's being done out there.
So different. Wow. So different.
So we'll tie that in later. So you go to the games in, it was 2012?
2013.
2013 is when you went to the games. Okay. And then qualify for the games again the next year. And you have some serious back issues.
Yeah. Hurt my back right before regionals in 2014. And just, like, little things seemed to happen. Doing a kettlebell swing, hurt my back pretty bad. Scrambled big time to try and get okay for regionals. Managed somehow to qualify anyway. And it just started a journey and a process of trying to get better and bouncing between a new injury and trying to get healthy, a new injury and trying to get healthy. And I discovered that I had a benign tumor in my pelvis that was like the size of a softball. And that was the root of all of the back issues that I was having.
Right.
And had that taken care of in the end of the summer in 2014, and just try to get healthy after that. So that's what made me withdraw from the games that year.
So I want to talk about this a little more. So you mentioned earlier kind of the prevalence of people in this community that compete in CrossFit. Their sense of identity is based around how good they are in the sport and stuff like that. What was your experience like with that? So when you you were injured, you couldn't compete anymore, and there were thoughts of should I continue to compete? Should I get back to where I was, or I may never be able to do this again? Like, what was that like? What was that like emotionally? Because I think a lot of people are going through that, and there's not a lot of talk about it.
It's a really big challenge to come to terms with how much of your identity or your perception of self-worth gets wrapped up in your capacity to perform. And I think, like I said before, is at large, we claim as elite level CrossFitters, and I hear it all the time, and I'm guilty of it, I've said it, that I am not my fitness. You know, I am more than an athlete. My identity is not CrossFit. Like, I have so many things outside of it that make me who I am. And those are things that I claimed and that I thought were true. And I think a lot of people claim it and they think it's truth, when really it's pretty far from the mark. And we don't say it to lie. We say it because we believe that.
Right.
But it's not true. That when it gets taken away, when I could no longer do what I'd been doing for 10 years, you know, I wasn't great at the one thing that I had poured my heart into for years. When that went away, I lost I realized how little I had spent how little time I'd spent developing the rest of me.
Right.
And how empty I felt without that ability to perform. And I think that's really what it was at the end of the day, was a performance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what we're called to do. It's not basing my self-worth or seeking affirmation from the rest of the world.
Right.
And that's what it had become for me unintentionally. So it was certainly a challenge, and it still is a challenge.
Right.
To find a place that rediscovering, you know, who I am and, mm-hmm. and what I love to do and what makes me me and where fitness fits in my life
right.
in its appropriate place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it hasn't become everything, that it's a part of me and
right.
how can I put it on the shelf in its rightful place and mm-hmm. keep it in perspective.
You have to have a lot of different things to be able to fill your cup, right?
Yeah.
So that if one is not doing so well, then you're still whole.
Yeah, and how do you make fitness not a reflection of your mm-hmm. self-worth? And we unintentionally do that because we're good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And the community is so wonderful. There's so many beautiful things about it that it can easily cover up those other things
right.
that you don't want to look at. And you use it instead of enjoying it and
mm-hmm.
keeping the appropriate perspective. Guilty of it for sure. And so when that shifted and it started to get taken away, it was a lot of restlessness that came with trying to find the other ways to fill my cup.
Mm-hmm. Do you see in the community, do you see a lot of people kind of wrestling with, well, I'll say it another way. I see a lot of people that really, really want to make it to regionals and are frankly not that close.
Yeah.
And they're going through a lot of injuries and stuff like that. They're going through a lot of, I don't know, not emotional turmoil, but just frustration and just spinning their wheels.
Yeah.
You know, different things in their life are going wrong because they're trying to compete in CrossFit so hard. Do you see a lot of that? And how do you relate it to, like, you know, what you went through?
Definitely. See that all the time in the level one environment, just here in the gym that I go to. You hear about it from other people mm-hmm. that everyone wants to make it to regionals. Like, that is a major goal people are focused on, but they're pretty far away from having mm-hmm. it happen, and they get hurt along the way, and they focus, like, they put blinders on
mm-hmm.
to the rest of their life in order to focus on this one goal. The coach I grew up with, Chris Buller, he's a flow master for the level one, and he said in the programming lecture a couple weekends ago something that he had figured out, that he crunched some numbers on, that this last year in 2015, you were more likely to play in the NFL from mm-hmm. high school or college football than you were to qualify
mm-hmm.
for the CrossFit Games as an individual.
Right.
Like, more likely to play in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That blows my mind. And there's a disconnect in our community around the CrossFit Games and CrossFit. Just because you CrossFit does not mean you make it to the CrossFit Games,
mm-hmm.
and it does not mean you should even participate in the sport
mm-hmm.
of CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard pill for people to stomach, that can't
mm-hmm.
is something that's actually a reality. And I think, aside from that perception or that understanding, there's something that needs to be realized about beginner athletes. They try and be advanced athletes before they've even hit the intermediate stage.
Absolutely.
They try and go from beginner to advanced when they haven't even mastered the basics.
Right.
So, I mean, my recommendation, and I guess my thought process on that, is just do CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
Do one workout a day and keep doing that until you do as prescribed every workout on CrossFit.com
mm-hmm.
until you can do as prescribed every workout that's posted in your gym, and you win every workout.
Right. Why do you want to squat four times a day if you've never squatted, or four times a week if you've never tried squatting just once a week, right?
Right.
You don't need to jump straight to there.
Yeah, and I think it's because, like, social media is such a big deal
mm-hmm.
these days. Everyone sees what Rich Froney's doing, or the programming Dan Bailey does,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, how Sam Briggs does six workouts a day.
Mm-hmm.
and they're best in the world at right. what they do, and that's what works for them. There's a process of self-discovery that every one of those athletes has gone through Absolutely. To figure out what works for them, and it took them years mm-hmm. to figure that out. Mm-hmm. What worked for me was one workout a day.
Right.
What works for Spiel, one workout a day. Mm-hmm. Chan, same thing. And there are athletes who can do 4 or 5 workouts in a day, and they're healthy. But until you are an upper-level intermediate athlete, there's no reason to do 2 right. days. There's not. Intensity gets results, not volume.
Right. And I don't want to sound like I am – I'll say it a different way. I am all into, like, thinking big, right? Yeah. Thinking huge, yeah. maybe impossible things.
I agree with you that dream big. If you want to make it to the CrossFit Games, I'm not telling you you can't. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you won't go to regionals. I'm just saying that there's a progression mm-hmm. that will get you there, and you'll stay safe and injury-free, and it'll save you from the emotional turmoil that I've gone through mm-hmm. putting fitness in the wrong place in my life. That if you do fitness and you keep it fun and you keep it light and you try your hardest once a day, mm-hmm. do that until you don't get results anymore.
Right.
You know, we said it earlier that the only thing that makes a program good or makes a program bad is its effectiveness. Mm-hmm. So if you're working out once a day and you PR your hell in time and your back squat goes up and you continue to see results, that's what matters. And sometimes we do 2 workouts a day thinking that will get us results faster. Mm-hmm. And it might, and it probably will at first. And then 2 workouts a day in 6 months gets you hurt.
Right. And if you go straight to 2-3 workouts a day, then there's nowhere to grow from there, right?
Yeah.
So there's the law of the minimum effective dose, or the term minimum effective dose, which is super powerful, right? If we just get small progress over time, that equals huge progress, less injuries, yeah. stuff like that.
Yeah, you want a small progression. And I think the days of doing CrossFit for 6 months and then going to the games are over. Mm-hmm. You know, the days of doing it for a year and then going to regionals are done.
Right.
Our community's too fit, and it's too great mm-hmm. at what it does. So, and there used to be a time, I don't know if you remember this, I'm sure you do, that there were people who moved really poorly.
Oh,
at regionals.
Absolutely.
You know, like, there's, like, heinous movement mm-hmm. happening on the floor. Or even at the games where you're like, woof, like, how are you doing that? Mm-hmm. Well, those days are gone.
Yep.
Everyone does everything really well. Mm-hmm. Everyone moves like an angel mm-hmm. on the floor. You know, with some exceptions, maybe right. at the bottom of the pack at regionals, like, there's a couple, like, shaky movers, but right. everybody moves like an angel, and everybody does things really, really well yeah. and really efficiently. And if you can't move well, you're not going to go to regionals anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, and if you can't stay healthy because you're doing too much volume, that's unfortunate for your real life. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate for your fitness.
Right.
Just master the basics and keep mastering the basics and do one thing at a time. And mm-hmm. I think that lends itself to mental and emotional stability
right.
as well as success in the world of fitness.
Right. Couldn't agree more. Can you tell us a little bit about training as a lifestyle versus as a competitor and, like, your mindset going through both of those? Like, you're training as a lifestyle now, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely back in the world of CrossFit for a health and a wellness and a mm-hmm. fitness program instead of as a competitor. And, man, it feels good. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's a great place to be. There's a mental acuity that comes with being a competitor in any world. You mm-hmm. know, to be an athlete is mentally draining, and so that aspect is gone, and I'm back to, it might not be draining for some people mm-hmm. because it's where they're supposed to be and they're great at it and they're loving what they're doing,
right.
but mine started to become hard and tired, and it's refreshing to be back to fitness with my buddies mm-hmm. in the afternoon and training without any specific lofty goals.
Right.
You know, I want to train to to feel good and wake up in the morning sore, but not decrepit. Right. You know, like, I don't want to wake up and have to mobilize for 45 minutes right. before I can work out. I want to wake up and feel refreshed and feel healthy and feel full of energy. And I want to come into the gym every day and not know what I have planned and mm-hmm. don't have a program. Look on main site and do whatever .com tells me to do, or mm-hmm. do whatever my buddies want to do today. There's something that's really refreshing, and it feels like circa 2007 again. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm back in the gym with my mom, hanging out,
right,
smashing weights and having a blast, you know, writing your time down on the board. And,
right.
And laughing the whole time. I'm back to the fun part of CrossFit right. that I lost perspective of, and I think a lot of people are guilty of losing perspective of.
Absolutely. I think everybody gets wrapped up on competition being the most important thing.
Yeah.
And we forget how fun it was when it started.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. I think it's, I wonder if people make these goals because they think other people will think they're cool, mm-hmm. right? Rather than it being something they really, really want to do.
Self-motivated, yeah. definitely. I was, something that made me think about it, like fitness for real life and kind of like CrossFit in the old days is, you remember when you first started CrossFit and the idea of pacing wasn't a thing yet?
Mm-hmm. Right. All
like,
out.
Pacing the whole didn't time. Exist. And when you're competing, there's no room for that. Like, you pace everything, you game everything, you think about the mm-hmm. intricacies of a workout. Well, there's a guy at the gym named Ed, and we work out together often, and he's like the king of redlining in the first round. Like, the king of just like hitting his face into the wall as mm-hmm. soon as possible. And that's what I used to do all the time, and I kind of missed that. You know, I missed doing that. Uh-huh. Like, the first round of Helen is world record pace, and then the rest of the workout takes you six times as long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your first round of Helen is 90 seconds, and then the rest of the workout takes you 7 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Where, like, things like that, where you get really fit doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that really uncomfortable, sucky place that you end up in after you put the pedal down.
Really,
this is so terrible. Yeah. Like, I'm useless after working so hard. But that's what fitness is like again for me, is just play.
Yep.
And you come in and you don't think about gaming the workout. You just weld your hands to the barbell and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and if I go too fast at the beginning, I will pay the consequences later, but
right.
it's fun that way. And that's what CrossFit used to be like.
Yeah.
We've lost sight of that a little bit as a community. And so it's been a blast to get back to that kind of feeling. You
right.
know? Like, I don't need my knee sleeves and my wrist wraps and my Oli shoes and my belt to do fitness anymore. I'm going to roll into town with my Asics on
uh-huh.
and my, like, terrible track shorts and just make it happen.
Right.
You know, like those old school pictures you see
mm-hmm.
.com posts sometimes. Like, that's where I'm back again.
Right.
It's great.
I love that. I love that. So I've talked to Adrian Conway, our mutual friend, a little bit,
yeah.
and he's told me that out of the hundreds of L1 coaches he's seen and worked with, that you are one of the very best.
Aww.
So he said this: she has a mix of character, enthusiasm, presence, and passion, which are all things that you cannot teach. So you already talked about character mm-hmm. a little bit. Where did the rest come from? Where does your enthusiasm for this come from? And well, I guess we already know where your enthusiasm comes from. It helped mold you, stuff
yeah.
like that. What about presence? Like, how can you teach that to someone?
Presence?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can. I guess it depends on what you mean by presence, but I think you're...
I don't know what he meant.
Yeah, it's okay. I think your presence is just, you know, that best version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The presence that is inspired by the things you love about what you're teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're coaching class, like, what do you love about serving the community? And those things are things that fuel your presence. My presence is big and it's bubbly and
mm-hmm.
loud and I laugh a lot. And there's a presence that's also really calm and
mm-hmm.
and cool and collected and reserved even, and that is equally powerful, but it's just a different version of that
right.
person. And mine's a little different. Those things that Adrian says make me great, which thank you, by the way. Those things I think are just, they're a testament to being in the right place mm-hmm. and doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
Like, my calling is to teach. Mm-hmm. I have a teacher's heart. And it's what fulfills me is that service to people and that aha moment mm-hmm. that I get to help
right.
people come to. So I think those character traits and those things are just an expression of walking in the path I'm supposed to be on. Mm-hmm. You know, they're definitely just, I love the sound of barbells clanking in the yeah. background. That's good. Yeah. But they're just an expression of that right pursuit. You know, mm-hmm. like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and it comes out.
So it's kind of, you're kind of assuming like if anyone is doing what they are supposed to be doing, they're walking on that right path, as you yeah. say, right? They're going to have some of the, like they're going to have their presence, their own presence, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So they're going to be in their own flow state, their chi.
Yeah, right? Whatever right. it is that you call it, you know, like it, if you're following your heart and you're doing what you're good at and you do it because you love it, if you're doing it for the right reasons, people see that mm-hmm. and they know it. Yeah, maybe better put, it's just being genuine. Mm-hmm. That presence is just being genuine. And everyone's attracted to different kinds of presence. You right. know, like some people like the more reserved coach or the more mm-hmm. loud coach or the bubbly one or the laugh, like the person who makes you laugh, the comedian or, you know, whoever it is. But if you are attracted to them, you're probably attracted to them because it's genuine and right. it's real. And false persona is one of the least attractive things in the
yeah,
world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, people can sniff out disingenuousness mm-hmm. from a mile away.
And another thing is your passion, right? And yeah. people are attracted to passion.
Definitely.
And they're going to follow passion.
Definitely. And I love fitness. Yeah. I love CrossFit. I definitely do. And I think I love a lot of things about it. That's more than just the product that it gives us. Mm-hmm. You know, I like that it's a learning community. Mm-hmm. We are an evidence-based fitness program. That means that we beg, borrow, and steal from people who are best in the world. And mm-hmm. as the rest of the world gets better at their pursuits, we get better too.
Right.
And it's an open-ended book. And a learner's heart is one of the most attractive things to me. And that's what this CrossFit like community is. Mm-hmm. It's just open arms to whatever will make us better.
Right.
And we just so far have found the thing that makes people fittest.
The fittest, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's also, there's something to be said for like how, like just in a class setting, how vulnerable people are. They're saying, teach me, I want you to teach me how to get fitter. I don't know what I'm doing, right?
Yeah.
So you build incredible connections with so many different people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is something really exposing about what we do. Mm-hmm. Hard work is exposing. You know, that willingness to hurt and willingness to come to the gym doesn't come easy for a lot of people. And there's, I mean, I can't tell you how many times, like, that vulnerability is real mm-hmm. mid-workout. Even as you get good, not just teach me, but, like, you, the upper echelons of fitness are still really vulnerable.
Yep.
You know, like, and it brings you to the end of yourself, almost. Like, that physical exhaustion lends itself to an openness to anything else you need to learn. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you see, like, nothing like a barbell makes a bad day worse mm-hmm. or a good day better. You know, like if you're having a rough day and it's a rough workout, like I can't tell you how many times like I've just cried at the end of it. You're like having a hard day, it's a hard workout, I just need to cry. Or like you have a great day and a great workout and it makes it all so much better. There's something really vulnerable and open about what we do and about coaching people that you can't get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. All right. Is there anything you would tell your let's say 21-year-old self that you know now? What, anything you would do differently mm-hmm. before the injury and stuff like that?
Yeah, I would try to remind me back then that I, you know, it's, I am worth more than my fitness. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's important, but don't forget that there are a lot of other things in your life that need attention. Mm-hmm. And I say that, like, my self-worth and seeking affirmation from the world of fitness around us, that's where I slipped into. But I honestly don't know if I would change it. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd change the road that right. I've been down to where I am now.
Right.
Because hard-won lessons are often the most valuable. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a rough road for a few years of trying to figure out what my place is in this community as an athlete, and then not competing anymore. Where do I belong? Where do I fit into it? And I don't think I would change that journey just because it's difficult to be on. Mm-hmm. But the lessons that I've learned are very impactful. Mm-hmm. Maybe I would just tell myself to, you know, enjoy the process.
Right.
Just be present and enjoy the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are three, I guess, any kind of resources for mm-hmm. coaches out there that want to, they love coaching, they just don't know where to learn more
yeah.
outside of CrossFit seminars?
The CrossFit Journal.
Journal.
Go to the journal.
That thing still exists?
But yeah. Come on.
I'm sure it's bigger than ever.
It's huge. Nice. You know, every day new articles get posted from not just experts in our community, but experts in the fitness community at large.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who are great at what they do. Scientists and, you know, sports specialists. We learn a lot from them, and it's all available to you on the journal.
Mm-hmm.
Those are great resources. I think other than the CrossFit Journal, you know, follow whatever your thing is, whatever your love or the piece of fitness that right. really makes you happy.
Like maybe you're really into kind of corrective exercises, or you're really into yeah. weightlifting. Is that where you're kind of
yeah,
going?
Yeah, yeah. You know, if you
just
love...
dive into that piece.
Yes, if you love nutrition...
I love it. Yep.
Seek that part out and start in the journal, because if you start in the journal, you're going to find resources and in the footnotes and new authors and people that the best that we've found on the journal are also learning and stealing and borrowing mm-hmm. from. So it's like a rabbit hole you can run down
sure.
that's endless, whether it's nutrition or whether it's, you know, gymnastics, or you love stretching, or you want to mm-hmm. know more about kinesiology. Like, those are little things that you can just start in the journal, figure it out, and
right.
figure out resources that are developed around that. Follow your heart there. And I also recommend to anyone who coaches CrossFit to pursue an education or a knowledge that's outside of the fitness world. You know, keep reading and keep learning and keep practicing your knowledge that's not supposedly or, you know, readily available or seems connected to the fitness world. You mm-hmm. know, like I just finished a book on public speaking.
Oh, nice.
And just reading about that made me run classes better.
Very
cool. You know, and yes, it definitely applies to the level one environment, mm-hmm. but, you know, whether you're reading something that you just love to learn about, keeping your learner's heart sharp makes you a better teacher, and it makes you a better coach. You
love that.
You learn well, you teach well.
I think that's really good advice about picking the thing that you love and mm-hmm. running with that rather than trying to do it all at once.
Yeah.
Right? I definitely fall into the trap of trying to do it all at once, and then I get nothing done.
Yeah.
So I think that's powerful to focus on one thing, give it all of your attention.
Yeah.
Learn a lot about it. And then if you get to a place where you want to learn about something else, follow that road.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, as coaches, we're asked to be best in the world at everything.
Mm-hmm.
CrossFit coaches, like, we have a lot to coach, and every class has gymnastics and weightlifting, and we need to be a running coach, and I need to know things about sprinting, and
right.
I need to know, like, all this different pieces of information, and you can't be expected to be best in the world at all of them. Mm-hmm. Have knowledge about each thing, and know how to teach people, you know, to keep them safe, and to get results, and, you know, to move efficiently. But start somewhere, you know, start with what you love and get great at that,
mm-hmm.
and then move on to the next thing and get great at that. And before you know it, you know, if you read an article a day, 3 to 5 articles a week, 2 years from now, you're going to have so much mm-hmm. knowledge that you will be great at all of those
right.
things that you need to coach and you need to teach people. But you just got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I don't know if we were on air or not, but you said the one thing that distinguishes good coaches from great coaches is that care factor, right? If we care to get them where they need to go and safely, it's gonna happen for them eventually.
Absolutely.
We're gonna figure it out.
Love people. Just
love it.
Love people, and they see results. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny how simple it is, you know. Like, actually, it's not funny because the things that are the most effective processes in the world are simple, mm-hmm. and they're elegant. That's why the worst CrossFit workouts, the ones that hurt the most, mm-hmm. are simple. Because simplicity is usually the most effective, mm-hmm. and that's a great guiding tenet, is love people.
Yeah.
And it is simple, but if you really keep that in the right perspective, you make choices that reflect well for your clients.
Yeah.
You make coaching cues or decisions that glorify people and make them better, and you love on them.
Yeah.
Everybody wins.
I see all the guy listeners just hopping off. They hear love.
Later.
Later. But I could not agree more. Yeah. Don't be afraid to care about people and like really invest in their health. And,
yes.
And it's going to work out.
I mean, think about the best coaches that you had, or even teachers, best coaches or best teachers you've had in your life. Mm-hmm. Like my best high school history teacher, what I loved about him is that he invested in me, mm-hmm. and he cared about me through my successes and my failures, mm-hmm. you know, and he had a personal stake in my accomplishments and in the work that I produced. And you could think about your high school, like my high school softball coach. I loved that she was accountable and always led by example. Mm-hmm. And those character traits that I love about my coaches growing up are things that I try and give to my athletes. I think wrapped up in a word, that's love, you mm-hmm. know, but there are smaller, more tangible things that you can focus your mind on. Like, certainly. What did you love about your high school football coach? And what were some things that you hated about coaches that you didn't like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and don't do those things.
Right.
But you put tangibles to it and it becomes clear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's more evident that I will be a great coach for my people in the gym, at seminars, if I lead by example and I take a personal mm-hmm. investment in mm-hmm. what they're doing.
What are a few things that you do at all of your, at the L1s that you think make you a great coach?
I think it's...
Specifically, I'm interested in, like, your speaking. How do you... What do you do? Are there any, like, things that you're thinking about to stay confident, to stay on point,
yeah.
all of that kind of stuff? How do you keep it all together?
Well, little known fact, I was an acting major in college.
Oh, nice.
So, public speaking is
so
okay.
So, get an undergrad degree.
Yeah, get an undergraduate education in acting. In BS, and then you're okay at public
okay.
speaking. No, but that aside, I think I'm comfortable in front of people because of that, but I also, it's two-part, I guess it comes back down to I love people, mm-hmm. and when I give a lecture or I'm talking in front of a group of people, it's a conversation in my head. You
mm-hmm.
know, I'm having a conversation. I'm just talking about fitness.
Yeah.
Because I love fitness, and it comes back to that place of love in my heart. Like, I just have so much passion for what this community has given me. I want to give mm-hmm. it back to people.
Yeah.
More tangibly, I practice a lot.
Yeah.
You know, like, I...
What does that look like?
Sometimes I just run through it in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Lectures, bullet points. I write it down on paper. Big bullet point lists and like a big tree web of information mm-hmm. going through the lecture. Sometimes I say it verbatim, like how I would present it to, you know, I'll set up a couple chairs in my living room and give a lecture to the chairs.
Right.
And those are things, just some small little skills that I've done to practice.
Mm-hmm.
I can't rehearse in front of a mirror. I know people do that,
uh-huh.
like they give lectures to a mirror, but that
right.
weirds me out. I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm more of like an on paper, write it down,
yeah.
and then I'll say out loud or practice out loud the parts of a lecture that are sticky for me, the hard parts.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
I'm on Instagram, rzambard. Twitter, I don't use very much.
Yeah.
Facebook, I don't think I've gone on there a long time. But I'm on Instagram. rzambard. Sweet. Yeah. Easy.
Sweet. Awesome. Guys, if you have not yet signed up for the newsletter, you can go to www.brutestrengthtraining.com. We send out lots of tips, videos, stuff like that. Go sign up for that.
Do it.
Hope you enjoy the show.
Thanks, guys.